In Matthew chapter 3, concerning John's baptism. Now, I want to read the whole chapter because you need to understand John's full message. Now, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you in water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not even fit to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand. And he will thoroughly clean his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus, answering him, said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for the Scriptures which teach us of the coming of John and his role to make the way for the Lord, God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray as we this morning consider these baptisms and what baptism represents, that we will look into the teachings of John himself and understand what repentance and faith mean for the believer. I pray that you would help Vivian and Sharon and Peter, and all of us here who name the name of Jesus Christ, to be faithful to the confession that we have in him, that none of us will stand to him before him on the last day and hear the words that he said he would say, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" That you would help us to be sincere in our faith and committed to the one who loved us and gave himself up for us. To love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to love one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 7 and 8, we find John the Baptist being a very straightforward person, to say the least. He talked to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were coming for baptism. And he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.'" Now, what was John doing here? He was trying to remove any misunderstandings about his baptism. This is the baptism that he baptized others with. This was the baptism that Christ was baptized with. And it's the same baptism that Jesus and his apostles baptized with. The baptism of repentance and faith. And John was saying to these men, do not think that because you have a religious background or you have Abraham as your father, that you're okay with God. There are no outward things that make you acceptable to God. Not your heritage, not your works. He's trying to say to them that when you come to God in repentance for sin, you're coming as a sinner who stands undone before a holy God who is perfect. And you need a Savior. And so he says to these men that if you're coming to be baptized by me, come on. But bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. And that's what I want to talk about today. Jesus and John's baptism had the same basis. They both had the same gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and be baptized. In John chapter 4, if you will turn there, we find a statement about Jesus' baptism. In verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were. John the Baptist made disciples first. He called them to repentance and faith, and then he baptized them. Jesus made disciples first. He called them to repent and believe the gospel, and then he baptized them. They both had a baptism of repentance from sin, turning from the sins of their life, the times that they had violated God's law, the ways they were living, which violated God's commandments. That's what sin is. Turning from those things, the sins that they lived in, to Jesus Christ himself. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not cleaning up your act. It's not making another commitment to finally look like a Christian ought to look. It's turning from self to Christ, from sin to Him. And in Him we find a Lord who enables us to change in a way that we cannot change ourselves. Or that no commitment will make us change. We turn to Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the gospel. Repent and be baptized under the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they were baptized. All who received his word that day were baptized. Because they confessed their sins. They confessed that they had lived a life apart from God. That they had not thought from God's perspective. That there were commandments of Christ and of God that they were violating daily in their lives. the anger, the bitterness, the hatred, the lying, the deceptiveness, the lusting after another man's wife or husband, the coveting and discontented spirit, dissatisfied with God's providence in their lives, who they married, who were their parents, the way God worked out their job, that they were living in a way of violating God's laws, and they wanted to change, having found a Savior who bore on the cross their sins for them, who bore God's wrath against their sins for them. Now they wanted to live a different life, a life that was different from the sins that sent him there to die. And so the gospel is, repent and turn to the Lord. Turn away from self and sin to Jesus Christ himself. Come unto me, he said, and I will give you rest. All that come to me, I will not cast out. He preached in Mark chapter 1, repent and believe the gospel. Repentance is an essential part of Christian conversion, but it is not cleaning yourself up. It's falling where you are in sorrow and grief over your sins and turning to him who is Lord to follow him all your days. In Matthew 3, verse 8, John said to these Pharisees and Sadducees, therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. You see, there is repentance, and there's the fruit of repentance. And you cannot confuse the two. Repentance is falling down before God where you are in sorrow and grief over your sins, turning to him as Lord, seeking him in mercy and forgiveness, and asking him to help you change. The fruit of repentance is living in him. It's coming to him, where every day when you get up in the morning, you don't just do what a Christian is supposed to do, you come to him. You remember how he loved you and gave himself up for you when he did not have to. And you believe his promises that all who come to him he will not cast out. And even this day, though you have sinned mightily against him, he will receive you. And you know what that does? It does something to you inside. As you're tempted to hate those who are around you, to seek revenge and anger against them, to break God's laws, to complain and be bitter against God and others who bring difficulties in your life, you remember one who died upon a cross for you. And you remember what sent him there. And your love for him who died for you changes your tongue, changes your thoughts, and changes what you choose to do. And you bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance because you have met him in between. There is no living a Christian life apart from knowing Jesus Christ each day. There is no ability to change your stubborn heart or your selfish manner of living apart from being faced with the cross each day. It is only the greater love for another that conquers your love for yourself. It is remembering his blood spilt for you, his righteousness which covers you. It is remembering that he died and was buried on your behalf, and he rose again on your behalf, and that he lives, and that you live in him, that enables you to change, to bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. Repentance is not preached so well today. Turn with me to Acts chapter 26. We find that John preached this, Jesus preached repent and believe the gospel, and now we find that Paul preached the same thing. Some of you may have been exposed to some teaching in other churches or other books that says repentance is not for Christians today, for Gentile Christians, that it's only for the Jews. And we don't have to repent. All we have to do is is believe Jesus was really the Son of God, and then we're saved, and we don't have to change our life. We can live in sin and still go to heaven. But I want you to read what the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 26. As he was explaining what Christ told him and sent him for in verse 17. Jesus said to him, "Delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you." He was sending Paul to the Jews and the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who've been sanctified by faith in me. Consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first, and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance, or deeds in keeping with repentance. Now, if you've been exposed to that teaching that repentance is not for you, you have to contradict this verse in the Bible. You are called to repent. Repentance is turning from self to God. Self-denial is the first step of new conversion. Jesus said, "You cannot be my disciple unless you deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me." It's a transference from self-governing to God-governing. It's a turning from sin and self to God Himself, and then living under Him and bringing forth a life that looks like it repented. How shall we who have died to sin, Paul said in Romans 6, still live in it? It's very easy to justify our actions and say, "Well, God will be merciful." And He will, but not if we expect Him to. To use God's mercy and goodness as an excuse to sin is one of the sins Jesus had to die for on the cross. And when you once have understood that everything that you do against such a good and merciful God is what caused the Son of God to die, you start to hate those things. And you just don't want to do them anymore. And as you come to Him, believing in Him, and seeing what He went through on your behalf, you start saying no to sin, yes to Him. But if you are content to live in sin while saying yes to Him for forgiveness, something's real wrong. Perform deeds appropriate to repentance, because true repentance always have deeds which follow. Now, some of you seem to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and risen from the dead, and that He died on the cross for sinners. But you have not yet confessed Christ before men. I understand that. You want to be sincere and sure that you are truly one of His. But you must not perform deeds appropriate to repentance before you repent. You can't get yourself worthy for Christ. You can't get your life right. You need to fall where you are and come to Him. You need to see what He did on the cross for you and love Him for it. And just explain to Him, "I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I will follow You. Help me." That's what repentance is. And then, having come to Him and loved Him, loving Him each day and believing that He loved you, you will start to change. You will perform deeds appropriate to repentance. Repentance is something that happens in the heart in a moment. It's not outward. It's what happens in the heart in a moment when we turn from self and bow to God's way. But real repentance afterward always reveals itself in fruits and deeds worthy of it, or else you have not repented. Now, what does that mean? Well, turn with me to Luke chapter 3, where John the Baptist helps us again. What does repentance look like? Repentance begins in the heart, but it always has outward evidence. In Luke chapter 3, we have people coming to John the Baptist to be baptized. In verse 7, he therefore began saying to the multitudes who were going out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruits in keeping with your repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And also the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the multitudes were questioning him, saying, "Then what shall we do?" And he would answer and say to them, now this is what repentance looks like. "Let the man who has two tunics share with him who has none. And let him who has food do likewise." And some tax gatherers also came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." You see, they stole and they coveted. So he said, quit doing that. Do something else. Take only what you're supposed to take. And some soldiers were questioning him, saying, "And what about us? What shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages." It was a practice for Roman soldiers with the power they had to extort from people, to extort from the Jews especially, who were under the Roman government, to take money from them, to blackmail them, to threaten to throw them in prison or accuse them falsely if they did not give them what they wanted. John said, be honest. Here's what repentance looks like. If you have not honored your father and mother, you begin to honor them and obey them. If you have hated and been angry and bitter toward others, you begin to forgive them and love them. If you have committed adultery in your heart or life and been impure and immoral, you turn to Jesus Christ and be cleansed and start a new way of thinking. You be faithful to your husband and wife and to your future husband and wife, boys and girls. If you have stolen, you quit stealing and be honest. If you have lied, you tell the truth. If you've coveted what another man has, if you've been bitter against God because of what you don't have, you come to Christ and learn how to be contented. That's what repentance looks like. It doesn't mean perfectionism, but it means change. It means fruits worthy of repentance. It means the bent of your life is changing from self to God. Old sins that once plagued you no longer rule you. It means that Jesus Christ and his death on the cross has so won your love that you love him more than yourself. You love his ways more than your ways. And you understand how marvelous is his grace and love to you when he did not have to love you at all. And it changes you. It means that you turn to God for daily help and quit doing the things you did before. And you don't have an unbiblical idea that you just do it once and it's over with. We're talking about a daily change of life. The rest of your life to turn away from sins that arise and to turn to Christ who loved you. A daily fight against sin. A daily love for Christ. Till day by day by day, you are changed more and more to the image of the Son of God and become more like Him. And all of that is represented in baptism. How are you doing since you've been baptized? If any of you think I'm doing fine, I've not sinned since then, you can be sure of one thing: you didn't understand the gospel and you don't understand the Christian life. Because that's impossible. He that says he has no sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And John wrote that to Christians. But how are you doing since you were baptized? Are you still repenting? See, that's what it's about. It isn't that you did it one time. It means that you've begun to repent every day. You've begun to believe every day. You have found Christ every day. You have loved Him every day. Every day you have looked at His commandments, and at the least of them, you wish to be conformed in your life. And when you find that you have not, you fall down before Him again, and you repent again, and you believe in Him again, and you love Him again, and you follow Him again. This is not perfectionism, that you have to measure up to some standard to be accepted by God. This is a sinner who has found a Savior and needs Him every day and needs His help every day and must repent every day and believe every day and find the comfort of His mercy every day. How shall we, who died to sin as our master, still live in it as our master? Bring forth fruits in keeping with your repentance, said John the Baptist, said Jesus, said Paul. Let us bring honor to the one who loved Him and gave Himself up for us. If you believe He is Lord, today you must bow down to Him and repent and believe today. Those of you who have not confessed His name, you come to Him as you are, not what you're trying to make yourself to be. You come to Him as you are, a sinner who needs God's mercy, and He will receive you. And then you ought to confess Him before men, and then you ought to bring forth fruits in keeping with your repentance. And those of you who have not, who have already come to Him, and you remember those days when you were so fresh and full of God's mercy, and you wondered, how on earth could He have forgiveness for the sinner that is the likes of me? You need to remember that every sin you commit as a Christian deserves the wrath of God just as much as those whole bunch of them, and took the shed blood of the Son of God to atone for each of them. And it ought to cause you to stir up your heart to love Him and be renewed daily in your commitment to follow Him. That's what repentance and faith is. And that's the only gospel that's in the Bible. Will you not come to Jesus Christ, whatever your condition is today, and repent of those things that you know are still against God's will in your life? To love your family, to love your enemy, to keep Christ's commandments. Will you not bring forth fruits in keeping for your repentance, because He is worthy to be loved and obeyed like that? He will receive you as you are, and He will help you to change, because His love is the transforming power that we need to change. And it is free to all who will have it. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, weary of your sins, weary of trying to make yourself better, weary of fearing God's judgment. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Let us pray.